Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Covering for a Colleague, Chapter 1, The Work. Here we go. Folks, this podcast is coming out for the first time in the first week of October in 2013. That means podcast award nominations are now open. Please go to podcastawards.com and nominate Manager Tools, both in People's Choice and in Best Business Podcast. In the past years, we've split our vote between Manager Tools and Career Tools, so this year we're asking you to vote for Manager Tools. So again, go to podcastawards.com and nominate us. You can only nominate us once during the nomination period. Thanks, everybody. Wendy, sometimes people go on holiday or vacation. I find this hard to believe.
I know. I was thinking yesterday, when was the last time I had a vacation?
Yeah. You mean one that we didn't pay for?
Yeah, that too.
And yet people don't think about it. It's a standard thing. There ought to be a standard way of doing it. And we have one. This is a fairly well-known process anyway. So let's go through the process and then let's remind everybody we have a special reminder for managers at the end of this show. So what are we going to talk about?
Okay, so discuss what needs to be done beforehand.
No, you think?
Yeah, really. Ensure that you have sufficient instructions. Ensure that you have sufficient access.
Access is the one that trips people, yeah.
Yeah. Ensure you know who to talk to if something goes wrong.
Right.
And keep a log.
Yeah, and folks, the important part about this is if you know these five steps, you get to ask the right questions in advance. Know what needs to be done. Ensure you have instructions and access. Know who to talk to. And keep a record or a log. It's not hard. And by the way, you can teach other people to do this when you go on vacation, by answering all these questions in advance. But anyway, okay, I think I'm getting ahead of ourselves.
It's one of those things that people would think, oh, those things are obvious, and they don't think about them as steps. And then at like 3 o'clock before the 3 o'clock before the person leaves at 5 o'clock for a vacation, and the person is desperately trying to get everything done.
Right.
And they're like, oh, so tell me what you want me to do next week. And that's the wrong time to be discussing it, and it tends to be kind of all mangled and whatever's on the top of that person's head rather than a real structured, comprehensive handover, which is what's going to make you both successful.
And some of you are thinking, I just soon not do this because, yeah, Manager Tools and Career Tools sometimes make me do more work. Well, part of the reason organizations don't go well is everybody says, well, we don't have to improve. We'll just do it on a case-by-case basis. We're all so busy, which is just insane. But anyway, and you only have to do this once with one colleague, and then the update probably takes 10 or 15 minutes, and then things run smoothly, and people feel better, particularly if you're working in a highly professional office where people, there are people who feel guilty about being on vacation, even though their family's super important, obviously. People feel better about taking the time because they feel other people pitch in to make it easier for them to go, and you're allowing them to go on vacation and worry about stuff less. Come on, it's not about the extra half hour it takes. That's what it takes. And there's nobody listening to this cast that doesn't have a half an hour. It's a joke. Okay, so you mentioned, obviously, don't do it at 3 o'clock. And we're assuming that somebody has notice. There are times when somebody is absent unavoidably on short notice, and we'll cover that some other time. So I assume you suggest start sometime before?
Yeah. So if you can, start the week before. So that's 2 Mondays before the first Monday of their absence.
Wow.
So that's what I would call a fortnight before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what intelligent people would call it, a fortnight.
Yeah. That would be so much easier if everybody spoke my language.
Yeah, we agree.
And that seems like a really long period, but it allows you to come up with, oh, gosh, I forgot to tell you this, and I do it every other Wednesday.
Well, yeah, the issue is not just the every other Wednesday. It's that once you start the process of telling someone, I'm going to help you while you're on vacation, we're going to share work in some fashion, all kinds of things are going to happen. Their reticular activating system will be activated, and they'll realize the first briefing I gave was a joke. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, there's this, there's this, there's this, there's this. Yeah. Okay. And what would be wrong with having them put a yellow sticky on their monitor or their workplace or something that says holiday or vacation to remind themselves, hey, I'm going on vacation, I'm going on holiday. And secondly, oh yeah, there's stuff I'm doing now that other people might need to do.
Yeah.
It's both a reminder and a tease. I heard somebody say once that holidays actually happen in three acts. The first act is all that excitement you get getting ready to go. Then there's the actual play itself, and then there are the memories. Yeah, which are now done real time thanks to smartphones. Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Good.
So start with creating a list of all together of all the things you're going to cover. And often we don't cover the entirety of somebody's jobs while they're absent, because if one person could do two people's jobs, then only one person would be doing two people's jobs.
Yes.
So really you're only covering the most important stuff. So just start with a list of, okay, these are the things I absolutely need you to cover, and these are the things that can drop by the wayside, or I'll catch up with them later, or I'll tell that person I'm absent and they're not going to get whatever it is that they expect every week, but yeah, they can live without it.
And to help people with what they work on, tell them to go through their email. I'm amazed by this. I'm amazed at the complaints and how people say they're busy with email and everything gets done by email, and they complain about email. And then they don't ever think of email as this fabulous repository of information. You know, I just gave a couple of effective communications conferences up in Edmonton for our friends at University of Alberta. We talked about email and they had a ball. Actually, I did 1, 2, 3 of them. And, you know, they realize, you know, several people had their eyes open up, like, yeah, you're right. I have all kinds of communication from this person. So we'd recommend the same thing when it comes to reviews, right? Email is there, and your entire year has been captured, 90% of it anyway. All the key recommendations are right there in email, and people can go through and take a look. So, okay, good.
So once you have this list, every time your colleague comes to do that task, she can alert you and you can go through how it's done. And that it does spread the handover over 2 weeks, but it also gives you a chance to do things multiple times. If it's a daily task and the first day you did, I don't really get that. Can you do it? Let's do it again tomorrow, or let's do it for 3 days in a row. Or if it's a task that gets done once a week, you get 2 chances to do it. So, and it gives you plenty of time to discuss it. You don't feel crunched and they're not explaining really quickly and you're not feeling pressured by the fact that they don't have much time, and you feel that...
I think we're giving people too much credit. If you do this on a Friday morning, even if you give yourself half a day to do it, which is not going to happen because you won't have planned that well for it. If you do this Friday morning and somebody's leaving on vacation that Friday evening, you both know you're going to do a poor job. You both know. In fact, at that point, many people go, well, I could do it, but it's going to be so poor. I'm going to be wasting the 4 hours. I'm just not going to do it. And I'll cross my fingers and they're going to be at fault anyway. The first time I ever experienced this was when I was in the Army. Mike and I were in the same unit, and our operations officer, who outranked me, went on vacation and didn't let us know some things that we needed to go. No. And... he was not really a good guy. Mike can validate that. You know, I kind of chuckled, like, yeah, he didn't do his job. And I learned a lesson, which was don't go on vacation and not let people know. But the colonel turned to me and said, how come he didn't know? And I realized, oh, yeah, I'm his colleague. I wasn't trying to throw him under the bus. In an indirect way, I was. And I was blaming him for throwing us under the bus because we couldn't get something done because we didn't have a password. But yeah, it was a good lesson. I learned it early. And I learned it from a guy who made me remember it forever, because he was so good at that. Yeah. Okay, so one of the things we have to do, the second point you made, is instructions, get instructions.
Yeah, and there's a huge difference between being told how to do something and actually having to do it yourself.
Passive knowledge versus active knowledge, right?
Exactly. Yeah. See, if you remember, I remember learning to drive, and every time I'd get back from my driving lesson, I would push the seat back and breathe out. Because there was so much to remember. And then, of course, like everybody, I passed my driving test and then really learned to drive. You know, you've watched people drive for 18 years, and yet you have no idea really how it works. And that's the same as watching someone do something with a spreadsheet. If you don't do it, it's just not going into your memory. And so you really need to make sure that you do really good instructions if you're just writing them down, but also if you can, do it once with that person watching and ask a ton of questions about how did you get to that, and hold on, what did you click on, why did you decide to go there, and how do you know what to put in that box, and why do you do that for that customer and something different for this customer. and there's no way you're going to remember all this and be able to do your job and do the covering job without notes. So you're going to have to take a ton of notes, many more notes than you think you should. I always think, oh, I've got a good memory, I'll be fine. And then I get to the day and I'm like, I haven't got a clue. So learn from my mistake, take lots of notes.
And I always wonder, for all those people who are more technical, whether or not they ought to record it, whether they ought to not videotape. It occurred to me the other day that you walked me through how to post things I think into our email stuff, and it would have been way better for me to set up a video watching the click-throughs. And we generally at Manager Tools and Career Tools are hesitant to adopt technology because we can't recommend something that a lot of people don't have. But I think smartphones and video on smartphones are such that you could set it up, you could have it set up in a little stand and videotape someone's screen for 3 or 4 minutes while they talk you through it. And every time I see a video of somebody else doing something, I say, okay, I can repeat that. And it's slightly different than taking notes. I encourage you taking notes. I think taking notes causes you to ask questions. But yeah, I think the why questions are really important.
Yeah, because if it doesn't come up exactly as it did before, or you're not in exactly the same situation, if you know the why, then you can extrapolate. If you just know, in this circumstance, I do X and I don't know why, when the circumstance is mildly different, you don't know what to do.
Yep. Agreed. Okay. So also you have to have access.
Yeah. So one of the most frustrating things is getting to Monday morning and you think, okay, I'm going to do that thing that my colleague says I have to do first thing on Monday morning. And you go in to log on your computer and the button isn't there that you need to press, and you find out it's because you don't have the right access, and so the button doesn't appear for you.
Yeah, let's take a step aside here and talk about access for just a minute, because I'm going to say something that'll irritate some people, and I think a lot of technical people. Well, let's be clear about something. If you work for a company, everything you do for that company is not yours. Okay? That computer you work on, even if you bring your personal computer to work, if you use your personal computer at work, now if it's a work for hire, you're a contractor, it's different. But if you're an employee, the company has a right to access that. Now you may find that intrusive, and I'm not going to argue with you that you feel it's intrusive, but it becomes the company's property. All the documents on there that you're working on for the company are the company's property, and you're not authorized to keep it from them. So when we talk about sharing passwords, we mean sharing passwords. We mean if you're an employee at any company, you have to be willing to give all your passwords to your boss. And I respect the fact that maybe people say, gee, I'm careful with my passwords and everything. Yep, we understand that. And we understand how you feel. And how you feel is not the organization's responsibility. And I know that makes me a bad guy, but I think we're the only people in the world who are saying this. If you're working on a company computer, first of all, your email's not safe. It's not private. Mm-hmm. You're insane if you think you can send private emails. If you're worried about what your boss could see on your computer, on your laptop at work, it's not because the company is intrusive. It's because you're doing the wrong things on your computer. We're sorry. Okay? You don't get to scrawl graffiti on your cubicle walls. The company owns those walls. The computer is not yours. We understand you have a connection to it. Some of us really have a connection to our technology. And that's good. That tells you that the people who design technology are good at what they do, and bless them for it. And give it up, folks, every single password, okay? And if you're a coworker, if Wendy and I are peers and we report to Mike and I'm trying to help her and she says, I'd rather not give you my password, I say, okay. I don't know that I'd rat on her to the boss, but if my boss said, if Mike said, Mark, I need you to do Wendy's job while she's gone, I'd be like, hey, I'm sorry, but there's some passwords on her computer and she won't give them to me. Or I would say to her, you need to go tell Mike and describe to Mike what the situation is. The other solution is, which I've had happen before many, many times, particularly with admins who have worked for me, like, this is a chance to change your passwords.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody else goes, so if you go on vacation, when you come back, all new passwords, right? That's fine. If you want to keep me out of your computer, which is fine, I suppose, but your boss better know it. And bosses, you're entitled. If somebody has a company phone and they type in a password, or if they have a new iPhone and they have a fingerprint thing, you got to get them to turn the fingerprint thing off. Or I guess on this one, you can punch in a code and as opposed to the fingerprint. It's not yours. And the access that you're going to deny someone else is wrong. I know. Send me mail and tell me why.
You're just making it harder for them to cover your job. So yeah. That makes it harder for you to go on vacation. Why would you do that?
No, I don't think that's the way they see it, Wendy. I think what they would say is, I know I'm about to get a nasty email because I just poured coffee. I talked every day last week, and a total of 54 hours, and I'm still not 100% back with my voice. I have to talk at Northwestern tomorrow. And then I have a couple of days where I don't have to talk too much. And I'll tell you, people say, I think you're thinking, well, it'll make them harder to go on vacation. No, I think they're thinking it's theirs and it's intrusive for people. I don't think people think of it that way. They think of it as, this is mine. And I know people who say when they leave their company, they wipe everything that they have. I'm like, no, you don't get to do that. You created work or part of work. The company owns that. You're responsible for it. But somebody else is responsible for it as well. I'm shocked by that. Oh, yeah, I quit, so I wiped everything.
I can't believe
really?
That.
Wow. That's a bit like, let me tell you, if you wipe everything and you work for me and you go somewhere else and I get a call informally about you and you basically told me, we didn't have a relationship. I wiped everything. When I leave, nothing I was doing was of value. None of the stuff I had was yours, whatever. You might find me giving a lukewarm recommendation, which a lukewarm recommendation is, I don't know, for me, the kiss of death, right?
Yeah, oh, it's a negative.
Okay. Yeah, he was okay. Yeah, he was fine. I mean, he actually did some good work, but when he left, he wiped everything clean, and we needed some of that data. Now, is that false? No. Could I say it? Yeah. Would I say it if you didn't do it? Of course not. Yeah. Okay, so access. And you also mentioned to me access to people, right? People who they may talk to on a regular basis, they need to let us know that.
Absolutely. I was thinking of a circumstance when I used to work for a very big company and I had access to the CEO. The CEO's secretary, he had several assistants, but the one I needed to speak to knew who I was and that despite the fact that I was 103 levels from him in the organization, I had legitimate reason to need access to his calendar. And had I not told her who was covering for me, she would legitimately have said, no, I only want to speak to the person, the equivalent person at his level in my organization. And that would have got us absolutely nowhere. So introducing people to, you know, customers, to clients, to on-site people, whoever it is that you deal with that you think, oh, that person's very protective. Let me make sure that they know who it is that's covering and why they might need them.
Yeah, good. Okay. Also, talk to if something goes wrong.
Yeah, so clearly your boss is usually a good, should know what your colleague is doing and help be able to help you resolve problems, but sometimes bosses don't exactly know how things are done. They just know that things are done. So sometimes there's somebody else that does a similar task in a different team. Sometimes there's somebody upstream or downstream of you that can say, okay, the result is this, or I give this person this. And then knowing what the input is, you can work out what has to be done. So those people around you, or even someone who used to do the task, somebody who used to do that job, it might have changed 50% since they did it, but they might be able to say, do you know, I always got stuck on X. And you go, oh, X, that's what I've forgotten. You know, those key parts tend not to change too much. So if you can find someone who used to do their job, that's sometimes helpful as well.
Yeah, I also think this is another reminder of the fundamental truth of career tools, which is networks rock, networks are leverage, networks rule. And if I'm covering for Wendy and she says, oh, I have to talk to this guy, Brian, who's over in this other department. He sends me this raw data every week and I really need it. I said, oh, I know Brian. If I go to Brian, and in my head, I'm thinking, if I go to Brian and say, hey, I'm covering for Wendy. And of course, if I know Brian, Brian probably knows that Wendy and I are coworkers. Brian's going to give it up for me.
Yep.
And that makes it easier for Wendy to go on vacation. It makes it easier for me to do my job. And it's because I did the advance work of building and maintaining my network. Okay?
Absolutely.
All right, you mentioned a log.
Okay, so the last thing is, yeah, keep a log. So don't rely on your memory to remind you about all the decisions you made in your colleague's absence. Not because you can't remember. Well, you probably can't remember, but think about it again. You're doing a person and a half's job during this time. So you're doing all of your job, which is easy to remember the decisions you made, and you're doing their job, which is harder to remember the decisions you're making. And you're making 150% of the decisions that you would normally make. I don't know about the maths for that, but it's a lot more. And so keeping a running list of what things you did, who you spoke to, what you told them, what the decision was, have a much longer list than you think you might need. Just write down every detail. It doesn't need to be in, you know, perfect prose. It can be in, you know, scribbles or abbreviations. As long as when your colleague comes back and says, did you speak to John? You can say, yes, I spoke to him on Wednesday and I told him X.
Yeah, I also think this is another chance for technology. People are going to have aneurysms that I'm talking about technology, but why not send a mail? And now I would suggest, for in some cases, here at Manager Tools, we're a small company. Somebody goes on vacation, we tell them, get the heck off of mail. We know we can't convince you of that at your big companies where everybody's supposed to be on mail all the time, which is ludicrous anyway, but whatever. Set up a Gmail account where you forward emails and tell the person, here's the Gmail account. If you want to go look at it, fine. I'm not going to send it to your direct mail unless you tell me to, your standard corporate mail. But they can set up to have, and then say, I'll forward it if you want, or you can leave it alone, and when you come back, you can go to that Gmail address, or you can look at it whenever you like, or you can set it to download to your standard email. And tell your boss, look, I've set up an email, and all I'm doing is creating quick hit records of stuff that happened. Mm-hmm. And that way, if he wants to look, he can. Or if I have a question that isn't urgent but might be helpful, if he looks, great. If he doesn't, that's fine. I'm amazed at people, oh yeah, he can't read my writing. That's why I can't do this. Really? And this is a person who says I have to take notes in a meeting on a laptop? Yeah, no.
Just a text file.
Yeah, shoot, a running text file, yeah. And yeah. you could attach the mail if they don't want to open it. They don't have to, but they got a mail from you. If you want to not set up a third party mail, a Gmail account, or a Yahoo account, or what an Apple account, you can just, you know, send an attachment. If they want to open it, great. They don't, no.
Absolutely. And it'll make your handover much easier.
Much
That's
easier.
The other thing. And then the other thing to do is keep two copies of any meeting notes or other documentation. If you go to a meeting for them, then keep two copies of the meeting notes. One for them to give to them and they can decide whether or not they want to keep theirs, and one for you. Because next time you cover for them, you'll remember, you can look at that meeting note and go, oh yeah, I remember, that's the meeting where they discuss X, Y, and Z, and you'll be that much more prepared for it.
Yeah, good. So should we give the hint for managers now before we wrap up?
Yeah.
I think so. Go ahead.
Okay, so the hint for managers, of course, maybe you've got this already, is having your staff cover for each other will be much more seamless if you have a plan for it ahead of time. So I've had managers where somebody said, I'm going on vacation, and somebody's had to volunteer to cover for them. Or the person said, oh, I've already asked Joe to cover for me. And the manager's gone, okay, and just assumed that it was all going to happen and just trusted everybody's professionalism. But that's not the way to do it if you really want your team to run well. The way to do it is to have a plan, encourage cross-training, encourage shared storage of the standard operating procedures. Even if you don't think your team does a similar job, each one does something different, they're still going to have to cover for each other at different parts. And it helps them understand each other's jobs, so it helps them get on with each other on a daily basis as well.
Yeah, this is a great example of the value of licensing, manager tools or career tools. If you're a career tools licensee, this is a classic case of fair use. You'd make a couple of copies of this document. You'd keep one as notes for yourself rather than having to re-listen to the cast. And then you'll share one with the person. Or if you're a boss, you'll give this to a couple of your directs. That's a completely reasonable use within fair use. It's not a violation of your license. They'll say, hey guys, you know, if it's Mike, you would say to Wendy and I, here's this list, follow this list. And the standard is following the list. Because the other standard was, oh, well, we'll figure it out as we go, which, no offense, in high-performing organizations, no, that doesn't keep the doors open.
No, absolutely.
Okay, so wrap us up.
Okay, so the list is, discuss what needs to be done beforehand. If you ensure that you have sufficient instructions, then ensure you have sufficient access. Ensure you know who to talk to if something goes wrong.
And keep that a log. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Email would be an easy way to do it. Okay. Another great one. Thanks, Winnie.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
That's it, everybody. Now you know what to do when somebody's out on vacation or holiday, depending upon where you are in the world. Come back next week. We'll be here.